Coffee Companion Podcast.
Chris Legler is a financial strategist with more than 20 years industry experience. One thing that interested me is Chris's background with Sony, BP, Blockbuster, in addition to the usual coffee suspects such as Barney's and, of course, Starbucks. He's a Seattle guy, and I've known him through his role at Espresso Supply. These are the folks who bring us the almost unbelievably good Bonavita automatic brewers. I find it interesting that a distributor seems to have such a consistently high-performance line of products. I was eager to pick his brain and figure out if he knew brewing as well as I suspected he might. I managed to get him to the microphones at the National Coffee Association Conference in San Diego in April 2016. I was particularly impressed with his constantly straying off-brand, a solid indication of character to me. Here's our interview.
Well, I'm with Chris Legler of, Espresso Supply. Yep. But we're going to talk about brewing, and since you have the Bonavita coffee maker as one of your coffee makers, I'd just like your insights into, you know, what really makes a perfect cup of coffee? I mean, we get so into details around here and testing things, I sometimes lose sight of the big picture. Mm-hmm. And what do you I thought had a pretty interesting comments you were making to me about that really brought me back to what really goes into making a great cup of coffee.
Well, at the end of the day, we're really looking for a good tasting cup of coffee. And I think sometimes, you know, we get into the science of it, which is important for consistency, but we sometimes don't necessarily think through, at the end of the day, we're looking for taste. And, you know, the solubles level within coffee is one of the things that really drives what that taste profile looks like. And taste can be very qualitative, so that's also where it becomes difficult. But I think when you got all the right elements to make a good cup of coffee, and then you can start to quantify what those are through a better soluble method, I think we could find some great ways of measuring that.
Now, I have a question. If frankly, a lot of people walk into an appliance department. I'm not necessarily going to go brands here, mm-hmm. including yours, but you know, they go into or they're shopping on Amazon, you know, and they just want to get a coffee maker. What are the things they really need to be paying attention to, in your opinion?
Does it get the water hot enough is key, or to the right temperature? Does it disperse water evenly amongst the grounds? Some coffee brewers only have one hole, you know, so it's not going to disperse.
Narrow rainstorm.
Exactly. And does it brew in a quick enough time frame? I think sometimes it's too long is definitely going to over-extract the beans or the taste. But if you can get it through quicker, you can, or at least in the, you know, not too quick, but in a time frame that's correct, that's where you get that good cup of coffee.
I used to have an automatic drip machine, and it did 12 cups, and it took about 14 minutes to brew them from start to finish. I started with the water right away, so I wasn't waiting. I understand if you're waiting up for the water to heat up.
Absolutely.
It wasn't the case in this case. Yeah. It just started, it turned on, and it just a steady, small stream of water through that time. What's going to happen?
It's going to get over-extracted. You're going to get all those bitter tastes. So when people complain about bitter coffee, that's where the bitters really come out the longer that it sits in those beans.
So it's not just the water temperature.
No, it's not just the water temperature, but it's the time as well that it flows through. And the water quality, of course, also is another key piece.
So. And that's something, of course, we can always change after we buy the coffee maker. But to get the coffee mm-hmm. maker, you have to get one that...
Right.
And what do you think a good amount of time is?
SCA recommends under 6 minutes, and right around 5 to 6 minutes is what their testing is. And French press is usually a 4-minute process, so it depends upon the method in some ways, but definitely under six.
But the French press would be because it's a coarser, actually it isn't. That's weird. It is a coarser grind.
Yeah.
So you think it'd be more time would be allowable, but it's, at any rate.
I think it's probably also because you're still kind of brewing French press after you plunge.
Oh, well, that's for sure.
You know,
yeah,
so
I know.
It's still in there and still brewing away. So.
Do you play this game? I always do. When I'm having a French press with, let's say, 3 or 4 people, I always carefully position myself so I don't get the last
exactly.
cup. I shouldn't admit that. Now all my friends are going to know what I'm doing.
or what gets me is, you know, they have the cups, the French press cups, you know, and that last couple of sips is just not even usually drinkable.
Yeah, so. No, I kind of avoid it. I sometimes get greedy and I'll drink it, and then I say, well, yeah, I really should have stopped.
Right.
The best tip.
Yeah. Probably get a bit of a caffeine rush off of that, though.
It gets,
but not the best tasting.
No,
rush.
No, you're right. It is. Mm-hmm. You started off with the right thing. It's about taste.
Yep, and I think often we lose sight of that, and you know, but there's coffee has so many different variables to it, much more than almost any other beverage that I can think of.
Do you think we really understand it, Paul?
I think there's a lot to learn.
Yeah. So. I've been studying it for many years now, and I still don't think.
Mm-hmm.
I sometimes scratch my head and think, I don't know if I know anything yet.
Right. I've been in this business for 26 years, and I'm still learning every day. So.
Yeah, no. If we're talking about automatic drip brewers, many times people say, you know, I still get a better cup of coffee with a manual drip brewer than even a really good drip machine. Mm-hmm. What are they likely doing something wrong, or is this just something about finding the right machine?
I think you know, finding the right machine. You know, I love our machine, of course. But you know, I think it does a fantastic job of getting close to that pour over experience. But you're still when you've got that control that a pour over gives you, and doing it manually, you do add more elements of being able to make things a little bit differently and a little bit more to what suits your taste.
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, in that way, it's like a manual stick car. I mean, as much as I actually prefer at this point in life not to have manual, but I can remember a point where I really thought the only way I could really get that control, I remember in rear-wheel drive and driving on snow and things, I always felt manuals much better, and I think it's akin to that.
Yeah, but, you know, for everyday brewing, you know, having an automatic coffee brewer has definitely got the convenience factor to it, and there are many out there that have a very good cup of coffee.
Yeah, I think I've certainly had some excellent coffee from automatic drip machines, so I'm not denying that. I guess the question then is, what you started talking to me about, are we looking at the right thing? And it was, you know, how do we evaluate what the goal is? And you were talking about solubles.
Yeah.
And I thought that was very interesting.
Well, I think that's one way to consistently measure what's coming out of the bean, because you're actually analyzing it after the brew cycle has completed, you know. So it's not, you know. And then all the other different variables that can go into it, which may be not to a certain spec, but might be a good way of tasting it, because once again, that taste is qualitative. So if we can start to look at the solubles that each method uses, we can really break down, because solubles is what gives you your taste. You know, it's what hits your taste buds and gives you that flavor. And there's, you know, obviously oil and therefore fat within coffee. And that oils are where those tastes come out, and having the right mix of solubles. It's not necessarily too much or too, you know.
Right. It's like having something properly spiced. It's a balance, and it's a certain amount, not overpowering and not underpowering.
Exactly.
So if you are buying a coffee maker, now obviously solubles is something that most of us can't do the tests. I mean,
right.
I would bet you.
I don't
people
have
in the audience,
a measuring device at home.
I have to be honest, I don't have one either. And I test coffee maker. So so I end up testing temperature. Do you think we're paying too much attention to things we can measure? That might be a loaded question. If it's, you know.
Well, you know, I think we often do pay too much attention to, you know, but I think there's things out there that aren't measurable, you know, that also produce great things. And so, you know, it's a balance of creating measurableness so that we can create consistency and have standards. But then at the end of the day, say, how do we get that taste? And what's that taste that we're looking for? And that, you know, that's what we're all here for, to drink good coffee, not necessarily to drink precise, you know, measured coffee. So.
On the subject of temperature, my own observation is, for instance, a Chemex, if you take 200-degree water and put it in Chemex, and then you measure the water as it's going through the coffee,
mm-hmm.
You'll find it's pretty far away from 200.
Right.
Pretty quick.
Yeah.
So Chemex doesn't even have, it's kind of subject to wind, you know, in effect. Mm-hmm. It's glass. It's pretty, and I'm using it as an example of something a lot of people would say is a good, mm-hmm. it's a great cup of coffee. So if the idea would be, if we're trying to make an electric automatic drip machine,
mm-hmm.
and we're trying to put that 200 degree water, we may well be brewing it hotter than a Chemex does.
Correct. Yeah. And I think it's where the water hits the grounds that's the most important, because that's what's releasing that taste out. It's when that water hits the grounds, it's the temperature that it hits it at that releases the flavonoids that we then taste in our cup.
It's really the relevant ultimate temperature that we would be looking at. Mm-hmm. However, I can tell you from a reviewer's point of view why I don't always am not able to do that, and that's because when the filter basket is closed, mm-hmm. and a well-designed brewer makes it very difficult to get a probe in there because they're trying to make it as airtight as they can when they left mm-hmm. it. So it's what you end up doing is taking the filter out and then measuring right at the exit hole
mm-hmm.
the water comes out.
Right.
Which may be, in fact, is probably likely to be a degree or mm-hmm. so hotter.
We have a very thin thermal coupler.
Thermal coupler, yeah.
That you know, fits into ours at the office so that we can measure that, but not everyone has that.
Right, of course. So, okay. Well, then, so the temperature is important, the length of time is important. Am I exaggerating when I say I think the length of time is more important than the temperature, getting the time right?
I think they're both important.
Okay.
You know, but I think the length of time is one thing that's often forgotten. You know, if you go by most coffee brewers off the shelf,
yeah,
they take far too long.
Far too long. I'm also going to suggest one other thing. The length of time is important. The temperature is important. But the length of time is, fair to say, fixed. 6 minutes is it.
Yeah.
Whereas there's not really the flex there, at least longer than six. Whereas the, it's like a lawyer all of a sudden, whereas the temperature.
Mm-hmm.
I know there are brewers now where they were able to set the temperature.
Yeah.
And 197 might be right for some coffees, better. And I know with my Chemex, I certainly play mm-hmm. around with temperatures. That's with the kettle. In fact, I Bonavita kettle is adjustable temperature.
The tea industry has been doing it for years. You know, they have, you know, these teas at best at this temperature. And so I think I have not done a lot of experimenting with different temperatures to see, you know, does a Ethiopian taste better at 195 and a Central American's better at 200. Don't know.
Maybe the roast is a factor too.
Right, absolutely.
I know AeroPress competitors are now putting in their, I saw it the other day, recipes for the winners of the latest AeroPress competition, and they had in their recipes what their brewing temperature was, and they were all over the lot.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them were 180, some of them were 190, you know, but they were far from within, you know, 3 or 4 degrees of each other.
Right.
So that would certainly be a wider, and yet none of them were saying, "Oh, I would take 7 minutes to soak in
mm-hmm.
the grounds."
Right.
So that in that way, there maybe there's more latitude with temperature than mm-hmm. there is time.
Yeah, because too long just will every time over extract.
And I think the standards, just to say something really good and important about the standards were designed at a time when coffee makers, electric coffee makers, where some of the ones I tested early, you know, would just be all over the lot with temperature. They would start maybe putting water in at 170 degrees and
mm-hmm.
might end up near 190.
Right.
When they were, or it might get so hot it was almost boiling. So it was probably designed just to simply rein in for, we have to start somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So
interesting.
Well, and that was also a day when people, the common cup of coffee was a percolator.
Oh, that's right, the percolator,
talk about over extracting and reboiling and.
And you'd hear that pumping.
Yes.
And you'd get a delicious smell. In
mm-hmm.
fact, I sometimes, I think if I were really decadent, I'd be brewing percolator next to the, as almost a, you know, as a diffuser, a scent diffuser. You know, I wouldn't drink it, but you know, but it would be that because a lot of the aromas went off during the brewing because of the heat.
Yep.
And whereas now, you know, we backed off from there.
But you, we're putting that aroma into our mouth.
Exactly right. Yeah, it was one of the dishes, I think. So. I think we'd all agree it was preferred.
Absolutely.
Although we still know a couple of holdouts. You know, there's always somebody out there. I'm sure it'll come back. You know, this is, maybe this is the way to have it happen, just to do a piece on it. Is the, from a brewing point of view, let's say you're, you, what would your advice be to someone, let's say you're using a some a manual machine and they've got the kettle and they can dial in what temperatures. What temperature would you suggest people play with?
I would probably stay, you know, kind of play with that in down to maybe 190. I don't know if I'd go too far below 190, you know, and then on up to 200 and just kind of see what your taste profile is like.
Do you ever brew higher than that?
I don't.
You know, it's funny. I have, but I find I generally don't. I find I like when I started noticing it, and those brewers that let me play with it, and of course the manual always does. I find I generally seem to be in the 190s.
I set my kettle at 194.
194,
and that's just because I was, for some reason, I, you know, not that I've done any, you know, different testing at different temperatures, but that's what my kettle said it.
No, I have to ask this question just because I always like asking a tricky question. But you know, you work in fact with Bonavita. Do you ever use other brewers?
Well, I do. So you have to use other
okay,
brewers
good.
To see.
So it's okay. You know, it's cool around the office to come in and admit to use an AeroPress.
Yeah. Well,
they don't make you go to HR.
Well, and that's
mind training.
Absolutely. Right. I haven't lost my job yet. Okay. Maybe don't tell anybody.
Yeah, we'll wait a couple of weeks. Yes.
But you know, I actually like trying different methods because I think that's the fun thing about it. So.
I can honestly say I can get a, one of the things I do when I get a new sack of coffee, I was going to say pound, but frequently now it's 12 ounces, is the game I play is which coffee maker, I play with different ones. Is this one that works well with a siphon? With siphons have their own quality, even notwithstanding, by the way, there's other factors that I didn't even get to with like turbulence.
Right.
You know, the amount of agitation. And then, of course, with the siphon, some siphon users, I've seen pretty intricate demonstrations of some siphon kings or queens that use the stir and how much agitation they provide, how often they stir, they would say makes a huge difference in the solubles.
Yeah, and I see people stirring AeroPress is the same.
AeroPress, same thing. Yeah, so it's interesting. And, of course, most of, and that where I suppose an automatic drip brewer, there's a certain amount of agitation from the spray head.
Right. Well, in the end, you can see that, you know, if you do a pour over, which is the best way, because you can't usually see inside the drip brewer, although that would be kind of cool. You can see that bloom happening, and, you know, that's where that's self-agitation.
Now, how much do you think pre-infusion, meaning dripping some water over the fresh grounds to let them rise and fall in effect, and it was a degassing, right?
Yeah, so I actually do that. I use a pre-infusion mode on the Bonavita all the time.
Right, which
so mine is just set to that, so because I feel it does add some flavor to it.
I think it's important. In fact, I can tell you I previously have seen people do this with a Technoform. They will just turn it on, let it a little bit drip in, and shut it off. And they were doing their own manual version of that.
Right.
Now, some people would say, well, that stops it from being our drip maker, but, you know, I mean, it's little enough to do.
Some brewers won't let you do that because they've got that weird, you know.
Right. Right. They can't let you do it.
Right.
Controlling brewers. It makes a difference because what? It really... It
allows it degassing, and especially with freshly ground coffee, because that, you know, ground coffee, which, you know, I usually don't like to let ground coffee sit very long, but if it's already going through a degassing process. So
now, I just read a survey, the new National Coffee Association survey in 2016. And by the way, we are in San Diego. We do just both attended the same event. And they brought up that there's still a preponderance of ground coffee out there. Consumers that don't grind, that I mean, this grinder is getting more popular. It's certainly increasing.
Right.
But there's still a lot of people that don't, apparently aren't aware of how important it is or don't want to be bothered. Yes, it is an extra step.
Convenience is generally the... I'm finding more and more, you know, the better... If we can get better tasting coffee and keep, you know, convenience in the... Keeping it simple. That's where... Because, you know, people don't... You know, you and I like to spend time making coffee. But,
you know,
not everybody does.
Let me give you an example of something I don't like to do. And I've probably get a number of comments, which is of course good for our traffic, but from this, but it may be bad for my credibility. I'll admit this now. I have tried both ways with a pour over of wetting the filter and not wetting the filter. Sometimes I'm in a hurry and I go, no,
right.
I'm just going to skip that. I'll be honest. I don't believe I notice the difference.
I don't, unless I'm using like a ceramic dripper.
Different
because
reason, though.
Yep, because that's to heat the ceramic.
Yes,
yeah,
correct.
So, but yeah, in the same way, I actually don't usually pre-wet my filter.
I think, and because, and I'll say something a little bit, you know, kind of ecological or maybe just thrifty, I use mostly brewing bottled water. Where the water is in my town, I really feel I need to. And I just don't want to waste the water.
Right.
It's like, you know, when I see people who have clearly are using, you know, nothing but water on their hands, or they,
right.
you know, don't care about wasting a lot of water to do a proper YouTube clip, and they will just douse it with water, and they make a big deal out of it being an important step. And one of the things that I just wonder, you know, am I is it a placebo? I guess anything we can ask this question, the A-B comparison, but
Maybe they're tasting something we aren't.
Well, I hear people say there's a papery taste, but again, especially when I have coffee in there, I really don't find any.
Coffee, if there is a paper taste, it's well hidden.
I think so, and I did feel there used to be when there was the a lot of difference. I haven't noticed much difference anymore, but when there were the brown versus the white filters, bleached. It seems like all the bleach filters now are using a pretty inert. They're certainly not using...
Right.
The so-called chlorine bleach to there's no chlorine flavor anymore, and hence also the so-called natural ones. I don't notice anything.
No, and you know there's taste in your water too. So
yeah, of course,
you know you know that could easily have
even bottled water, even every water. That's a whole other
right. Well, I think water is a very fascinating thing. I think that could be a whole...
I do try.
We could talk for hours about
yeah,
that.
Yes, and we could also drive everyone crazy because, you know, I know people who are really funny about water, and it's like, well, you know, even I only have so many choices of water.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, anybody does.
But what's the mineral? You know, does mineral content change?
Mineral content, pH.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You get into, and this is assuming that you're doing something to remove... I mean, we're not talking about chlorine. That's an obvious
right.
one.
Right, yeah.
Mean, chlorine should be... in the water, but and certainly hardness, you know, at some point TDS makes a difference. I'm assuming 100 TDS seems like it's recommended.
Right.
It's moderately hard to slightly hard.
Because I think that those tastes leach on to those minerals. That's the delivery mechanism, is what I've heard.
I'm not sure why, after kind of looking into it, and I've certainly never passed myself off as a water expert, but I can tell you, yes, I certainly have noticed differences when I switch water.
Right.
And one of the reasons over the years I've stuck to one brand of bottled water, and I'm not saying that's a guarantee. You know, I understand that it varies through the year.
Yep.
But still, I feel like at least it's sort of a... You look for these things that you can call controls.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's going to consistency. Right. You know what you're going to get.
Same thing with the... I mean, this is... We haven't even gotten into grind yet.
Mm-hmm. So grind size and consistency.
Here's a bona fide question.
Mm-hmm.
The grinder coming out?
We're looking at it. So,
I think that's such a talk about overwhelming. No, you don't need to rinse your filter, but you do need to get a $200
right.
grinder.
Well, and we want with bona fide, we want good and simple. Is our so that's where that's what we're trying to do with the grind. As we're looking at grinders, say, how do we keep it simple?
Is the 1900 your right now your best selling model?
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the 1800 is still a good model too.
Is that the original?
That's the original one.
The original with the Melita filter versus the
flat bottom. Yep.
Yeah. Interesting. I know. I've tested both and delighted with the results. It does not have the pre-infusion, but again, as I've even said with your 1900. I have to say I've had very little problem. Somehow you've licked it so that I don't get much. I don't get the foaming, the evil foaming at the top that
right.
I've gotten with some brewers.
Yep.
You seem to have the flow rate somehow geared so that it's never been a problem with either of those machines.
And
that,
that's really what we designed. We designed it around hitting that timing. So.
And it seems like you designed it with fresh coffee in mind.
Absolutely.
I can think of another brewer, and I won't name it. I've already reviewed it, but. That they had such an undersized filter basket. And in other ways, the coffee maker did a lot of the things right that we wanted them to do that we've talked about. But they just didn't. They undersized it. And, you couldn't put in the requisite amount of grounds without getting the overflow.
Right.
Risking the overflow.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and I almost said to myself, I guess I could ask them. I don't know if the people I know there had anything to do with designing it, but did you folks look at, did you use fresh coffee when you designed it, or did you just go out and buy a can of coffee? I mean, I've
seen people, I recently found a company that was making coffee brewers, and they were using canned coffee, and it shocked me.
Especially, and this is a higher priced coffee maker, this isn't a $200 and up range. The question for me is, how could you think that people at that price point are really not going to be using what I would call a coffee shop, specialty coffee?
Right, yeah.
Specialty coffee, meaning the goal is for it to be
fresh ground,
whole bean, and I know this is pushing a little bit, but likely roasted within the last month.
Mm-hmm. 30
days.
Yeah. So
I mean, I would kind
of leave in the last 2 weeks.
I understand. I know it's 2 weeks for some of us, but I can tell you from a consumer's point of view, this is for all my roaster friends who've never ever had to worry about stale coffee in there because they just bring something home from the shop every night. It's really hard to throw out.
It is.
Coffee.
Yeah.
It's wasteful too.
It's just not.
What do? Do you save it for when people you don't like come over? I can't bring myself to do that. Just kind of it's a medical ethics thing. I can't perform a bad root canal at times.
For a bad cup of coffee.
I can't just do that.
We have a hard enough time just keeping enough coffee in the house because we go through it. So,
well, that's right. In a perfect world. Let me ask you, since I got you here, let me ask you a political football question too. Do you ever freeze coffee?
I don't. To me, freezing is absolutely the worst. And then if you freeze it and take it in and out of the freezer,
I understand.
Which a lot of people will put it in their freezer door. And
I probably made the limiter go. You're asking for trouble.
Right.
This is more than anyone wants to know, but I think you're asking for trouble when you have ideally. Again, this probably wound up on the cutting room floor, but frost-proof refrigerators, freezers, the way they work, understanding is the way they work is they actually have a heating circuit built into it.
Oh, really?
That actually melts the ice on the inside so it can't around the freezer. Uh-huh. It does it during the off hours, of course.
Yeah.
But you do have a temperature flux, a wider temperature flux, shall we say, than a traditional cheap, what now would be the cheapest.
And the beans are so small that you're adding a risk of freezer burn.
Oh, I know. There's theories for people who freeze coffee, those of us who do, that you use two freezer bags and things like that to insulate. And again, you don't bring them out and leave them out. And when you bring them out, I've heard one argument for freezing, and that is you freeze them, because when you take them out and you go straight to the grinder with them frozen, and actually the characteristics of being frozen makes them more brittle and theoretically gives a better grind.
Huh.
Now we'd have to have one of the grinder people here to, you know, to give us their spin on that.
Yeah.
What they think.
I'd like
that.
To hear that.
I would too, but right now you're hearing what I guess I would call speculative.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't mine. I'm just repeating what some of those people have told me, but who favor it. But I would also argue freezing is better than not freezing.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just the type of person that, you know, lives alone, has an AeroPress, uses it once every day,
mm-hmm.
Just one, you know, small cup of coffee, and then so your coffee's going to last 6 weeks.
Right.
I think after the 2 weeks, you're better off having it frozen. My opinion.
I would agree with
but,
that.
But
so,
you know, it's tough because we're always looking for ways. I think shelf life is
mm-hmm.
just so important. It's so difficult
yeah.
with coffee.
Well, even with the rate we go through coffee at my house, you know, we always keep it in that sealed canister on the counter. You know,
right? And I try to look for a cool, dark place.
Mm-hmm.
Which in our house is a cabinet, and I even know which one is near an exterior wall, which is in Chicago usually means it's cold.
Can be,
but almost a freezer.
Yeah,
so it's it helps. But yeah, it's interesting. Is
mm-hmm.
there? How about as long as we're just talking about everything? Now, do you think there's a different brewing characteristics depending upon roast?
Yes, I think there is. I don't know necessarily what it is, but I think,
yeah, I do too.
Mm-hmm.
I do too. I sometimes find, and this is where playing with temperatures,
mm-hmm.
Even grind.
Yeah.
I feel like, and again, I'm not prepared to declare which is which.
Right.
But I can tell you that I have played with things with the different coffees. I guess more than anything, I'm trying to, one of the reasons we talked that impressed me about our conversations before is the whole concept of people can get overly tight
mm-hmm.
about things and think they're hard and fast rules.
Right.
And really the concept is, and if I'm putting words in your mouth, please stop me, but the concept of a certification or to standards is to get us in the ballpark, is to get us thinking about them and doing some things like the length of time coffee suggested
mm-hmm.
to heat, but not necessarily say that, well, it can't work any other way.
Correct, yeah.
And that's because I know sometimes I get a sack of coffee, and I had some Pete's coffee, which is, as we all know, quite dark
mm-hmm.
recently. It's very fresh, and it was, and I was grinding it, and I suddenly said, you know what, I think I like this better. I'm going to try a notch coarser.
Mm-hmm.
And came to life. And by the way, I think that would happen with all sorts of one way or the other.
Right.
Go a notch. Try
mm-hmm.
a notch coarser. I used to tell people play with grind before you play with other things, especially the obvious choice of I'll use less coffee. I'll
right.
just back off.
Yeah.
It's too strong for me. Which I often read to say too bitter.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that is because of that over extraction.
I think you're right.
Putting more water into, you're trying to get more out of that little bit of coffee, and you're going to get the bitters.
Is over-extraction prevalent in with bad coffee makers?
I think so.
Yeah,
yeah.
I kind of do.
I think that's the key reason it just doesn't taste as good.
I think that let me see if I can distill this into a comment that a first thing you'll notice when you get a really good high-performance certified coffee brewer is you'll notice that you get less extraction, but you'll get less
mm-hmm.
lessen the risk of over-extraction,
right?
And you'll get just a nicer, still strong
mm-hmm.
but not bitter cup of coffee,
right?
And that is what leads to all sorts of reactions in people as
mm-hmm.
they drink coffee.
Yeah, because I'm not a fan of weak coffee, and I, you know, use
all of us can be at this point. And you're not a fan, of course, over-extracted, which
mm-hmm.
is, I had coffee, even coffee here that I thought was over-extracted, actually.
The hotel's been serving extremely over.
Whatever it was, I don't
yeah.
know, but I was like, you, just so everyone knows, it's not like a hotel will necessarily, that's a beautiful hotel, but it is not necessarily they will change the coffee, you would think, for the coffee business.
Right. Yeah, even the National Coffee Association shows up and they're still coffee's, using whatever.
Yeah, we're drinking coffee. It's roughly the equivalent of the diner across the street.
Yep.
And that's a shame because, of course, you know, that's where one of my frustrations is as a traveler.
Mm-hmm.
It's just finding a good cup of coffee.
Right.
I'm not even asking for the highest standards. That, you know, I'm not asking for something that's done by an AeroPress champion winner or the Bonavita mm-hmm. 1900 at my hands. I'm asking for something that's like kind of ballpark.
Mm-hmm. That. But it's better than 10 years ago, 20 years ago, you know. And so mm-hmm. I think it will, if we continue to push for...
Do you think it's better at food service?
Well, not necessarily. It's more accessible than when you travel. So you can find the little...
Absolutely.
You know.
Right. A couple of things have happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The proliferation of specialty coffee cafes.
Yep.
Local small batch roasters, I'm going to add three. And smartphones.
Yes.
GPS features that let you walk my way there.
Yeah.
So, find me some decent
coffee.
Yeah,
the food service coffee isn't changing, but you can often, you know,
it's worse.
Go a few blocks from the hotel. And
I think the stuff we were drinking earlier today, I think was from concentrate.
Oh,
it was
awful.
It was.
Yeah.
It was. I took some and I, you know, I tasted it. It was too hot, of course, at first, and I, you know, took some steps towards the room or the big ballroom or whatever all the presentations were. I took a couple of sips, and then I ended up looking for a tray table,
mm-hmm.
and on the way there, and I just set it down, and
yep.
I came in empty-handed. I said, this is, it's not.
Life's too short.
Life's too short. I must have some allergy medicine that has a no, you know, not a dose factor that I can use.
Yeah.
And I'll wait until I have a fine cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you'd like to say that you've always wanted to say?
No, I think we kind of hit the key points on getting a better cup of coffee.
Good.
Better tasting.
Good. Chris, is anything new, exciting coming down the pike that you can talk about?
Yeah, well, we have a couple new brewers that will be coming out in the next 6 months or so, which will be exciting. We've just got a new carafe for brewing pour-overs, so we launched that just the other day at the Houseware Show, which was, I guess, 2 weeks ago.
Right. Yes, many of them this time of year. What are you fixing or are you improving in?
Well, one of the things we're going to try to do is to get a little bit lower price point with the same quality, because my goal is to bring a better quality cup of coffee to more people, so I really want to do that. We'll probably start looking at improving some things on the next round too. So
fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, as always, it's great fun talking with you and sharing the passion of coffee.
Likewise.
All right. This is Chris Legler, everyone, from Espresso Supply. Thanks again, Chris.
You bet.
Thanks, Chris, for taking the time to meet with me. I hope to find more such interesting guests in the future. Feel free to add your questions and comments. This has been Coffee Kevin Sinnott, author of The Art and Craft of Coffee and creator-host of CoffeeCon, the Consumer Coffee Festival. This is the Coffee Companion Podcast. Keep drinking the best coffee. See you soon.